This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Viva Guadalupe. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and couldn't be more excited today to be joined by my guest, Stephen Mosher. He is the president of the Population Research Institute and a former commissioner of the Commission on Broadcasting to the People's Republic of China. Steve has had firsthand knowledge of China's repressive one-child policy and was the first American to witness forced abortion under the program. Steve's experience with China's one-child policy led him to convert from being a pro-choice atheist to a pro-life Roman Catholic. He is an internationally recognized authority on China and the author of several books on the subject, including Journey to Forbidden China, A Mother's Ordeal, One Woman's Fight Against China's One-Child Policy, Broken Earth, The Royal Chinese, China Misperceived, American Illusions and China Reality, Hegemon, China's Plan to Dominate Asia and the World, and China Attacks. In addition to that, he has just released a brand new book called Bully of Asia, which reveals the growing threat China poses to the United States, to Christian values and Christians living in China, and to the peaceful and prosperous world that America guarantees. Welcome, Stephen, to the program. Thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
Well, it's good to be here, Bill.
So let's talk about this new book, and also what China is doing as kind of the pace setter out in the Asian world. What is their worldview, and how does it impact the other Asian nations, especially, you know, as we're going through this whole North Korean crisis?
Well, I think China is the key to solving the North Korean problem. I think China is the key to solving a lot of problems globally. But, you know, my interest in China goes way back to 1979, when I was the first American scholar allowed to live and work and do research in China. I was there for over a year. And during the course of that time, I discovered that the Chinese Communist Party was indeed communist. It was a brutal, thuggish group of people who would stop at nothing to stay in power. That was made clear to me during the beginning of the one-child policy, when women were arrested, charged with a crime of being pregnant without government permission. Imagine that, being pregnant without government permission in China is a crime even today. And taken from there to local incarceration centers, where they were brainwashed for weeks, and finally, at the end of that process, taken into medical clinics worthy of Auschwitz or Dachau, where they were given abortions, forced abortions. Many of the women were 7 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant. The abortions were done by cesarean section. That whole experience, of course, made me pro-life, because you can't witness a third trimester abortion without becoming pro-life. It also helped me to find God, because I in the operating room, it was as if that hell had opened up before me, and I began to seek heaven, shrinking back from hell. Of course, I think your natural response is to begin to seek its opposite. Confronting evil, your natural response is to seek the good, lest you be drawn into the evil. And if you seek the good, you'll always find God. So I've been watching this this regime for a long time. I was hopeful for many years that China would modernize, would democratize, that economic development would lead to the rise of a middle class. And that dream ended at Tiananmen Square on June 4th, 1989, when the Communist Party again sent in troops and tanks to gun down and grind into the pavement innocent, unarmed students who were demanding an end to one-party dictatorship. The one-party dictatorship in question did not want to give up power, and so they used deadly force to quell the uprising. Since then, China's been going in the other direction. China's becoming increasingly tyrannical. There is, in fact, a quiet but very efficient new reign of terror in China today. The original reign of terror, of course, was during the French Revolution, a couple hundred years ago. There's a new reign of terror today where Christians, Catholics, priests, bishops, human rights activists, Tibetan independence activists, minorities who want local sovereignty and independence, all of these people are being swept up, taken to black jails, black in the sense that they don't exist. They're not publicly admitted. People disappear into black jails. You go to the police station, the police say, oh, we have no idea where your husband is or where your wife is. They hold them in black jails for as long as they want, indefinite periods of time. People are tortured there. People have been killed there. So I wrote The Bully of Asia because China is increasingly a bully, not just of its own people, but of neighboring countries as well. So that's the whole background to why I wrote the book and why Americans should be paying attention to what's going on in Asia, because China wants to export its not only its population control program, but other elements of its government around the world. And I don't think we want that to happen.
No, especially here in this country where it seems that we have the freedom to choose whether abortion or carrying a baby to term is celebrated so much. Having a forced abortion is I think across the board in America something that we never want to see in our society, but how close is that? When you talk about the mindset of people in the United States and this pro-choice mentality, are you seeing any parallels between what Planned Parenthood is doing, what these major abortion facilitators are doing to try and coerce women into having abortions, even if it isn't forced abortion like China?
Well, sure. Let's call the so-called pro-choicers what they really are. What they really are is pro-abortion. And that became clear to me when I came back from China, my first visit to China, and I went to some of the leading quote-unquote women's organizations, like the National Organization of Women. And I said to the leadership that women in China were being forced to have abortions. And I said, you're pro-choice, so naturally you're opposed to forced abortion, aren't you? I said. And then they responded, well, we are personally opposed to forced abortion, but after all, China has a population problem, and they must deal with that. So again, stripping away the facade, the deceit that they're pro-choice, underneath that, they're pro-abortion. They've really never seen an abortion they didn't like. And they're perfectly willing to countenance forced abortions in the name of solving a mythical overpopulation problem. They're perfectly willing to put pressure on young American women to have abortions in order to make money, in order to reduce what Scrooge called in A Christmas Carol the surplus population, as they see it. They're perfectly willing to abort young women who are brought in by boyfriends or by husbands under duress without asking them what they really want and giving them a real alternative. So, yeah, I would say there are elements of forced abortion here in the United States driven by the myth of overpopulation. But China, as I write in The Bully of Asia, is exporting its one-child policy. It's exported it to North Korea, which is a brutal, barbaric country. It's exported its policy to Vietnam. It wants to export its policy to Africa. It recently held a conference there to talk about how wonderful the one-child policy in China has worked and how African countries should fall in line and emulate it and adopt it. So this is a country, China, that wants to spread its pro-abortion errors around the world. But those aren't the only kinds of errors it wants to spread around the world. It wants to spread one-party dictatorships around the world because that's what it is, and it wants to clone itself everywhere.
Is there plans that China would ultimately then export their plan of this one-child policy, this one dictatorship policy, or one-party dictatorship policy, and when that go for global domination? Is that what they're, or is it a worldview shift? Is it more about China having control over the entire world, or is it more about this shift in the mindset of government that they want? What are they trying to achieve?
Well, that's a very, very interesting question, Bill, because the way I think to look at it is we view the map of the world and we see America at its center. And we're not just being provincial in that. America has the oldest constitution in the world. America is a beacon of freedom and liberty, of ordered liberty for other countries around the world. There are literally dozens of countries which have constitutions that were modeled upon the United States. You know, we've spread the seeds of democracy wherever we've gone. Sometimes those seeds have sprouted and flourished, and we find flourishing democracies in places like Taiwan and Japan and South Korea and the Philippines and India, where if left to their own devices without the example of the United States, those countries would not be democracies today. China's doing the opposite. China's best friends overseas are tyrannies, are dictatorships. North Korea stands out. Syria under Bashar Assad, Venezuela under Maduro, all of these countries, Cuba under the Castro brothers, all of these countries are good friends with China because they share values and institutions with China. And the institution they share, of course, is dictatorship. And the value they share is an absolute disdain for human life and an absolute respect for power, a drive, a desire, a greed for absolute power. So China wants to spread its version of government around the world, and it would like the map to be centered on China. Now, China in Chinese, the word China in Chinese is composed of two characters, Zhong Guo, and Zhong means middle, and Guo means kingdom. So China literally means the kingdom in the center of the earth. That's the worldview of the Chinese leadership. That's the goal of the new Red Emperor. We call him President Xi, President Xi Jinping. But he's not just a president like our president is just a president. He's also the Generalissimo of the People's Liberation Army. He's also the head of the Chinese Communist Party. He's also runs the spy organization, the Ministry of State Security. He runs everything. All of the levers of power are in his hands. So I call him the new Red Emperor of China. And Emperor Xi's dream is a world organized around China, obedient to China, kowtowing to China, that looks like China. And that, my friend, is a world that would be less free, would be less democratic, would be more hostile to Christianity in general and Catholicism in particular, and it's not a world that I particularly want to live in.
No, I don't think so. Just for our listeners, you're listening to the voice of Stephen Mosher. He is the president of the Population Research Institute, and we have to take a short break here, Stephen, on Young Catholics Respond, but when we come back, we'll talk more about this fascinating topic of China's influence in the world, and of course your new book, Bully of Asia, and more about what we can do about this as Catholics, as Christians, and as Americans. So right back after this here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. Experience Truth and Life today and download it on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
This is Martha Fernandez Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by rememberyouareloved.com. How much are you worth in God's eyes? You are precious. You are priceless. God so loved you that he actually created you out of love. Imagine that. God, who was sufficient unto himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity, he had no need of me, he had no need of you, and yet, in the mystery of God's love, he needed you, he needed me. He brought you into existence because he thought you into existence out of love. So you are so precious in God's eyes that he created you out of love, to love you on earth, and bring you into his eternal love for all eternity, to love you on and on and on. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Now back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guest is Stephen Mosher. He is the president of the Population Research Institute, and we were talking about his new book, Bully of Asia, and also the way China has influenced the world, or is trying to influence the world today with one-child policy, one-dictator policy in different areas of the world, and it's just a fascinating conversation. Stephen, I want to ask you, what do we do about this now? What do we do as Catholics, as Christians, and as Americans to try and, you know, combat this this worldview that China is imposing or trying to impose on the world?
Well, I think there are a number of things we can do. I was involved some time ago in setting up Radio Free Asia, which is our free radio broadcast into the one-party dictatorships of Asia, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Burma, of course, but also the main target was China, trying to get news and information past the censorship, the wall of the Great Wall of Censorship that the Chinese Communist Party has built up around China, and let the Chinese people know what's happening in their own country. There's a lot of unrest and unhappiness in China because of rampant official corruption, because of bureaucrats running roughshod over the rights of the people, who really, Chinese people really have no rights. So there's a lot of discontent in China. But we also need, as Catholics, to be praying for the conversion of China. That's something that has almost been within reach several times in history. I think the first Christians came to China during the Han Dynasty, within 200 years after the birth of Christ. We know that from some early inscriptions we found. The Christians came again. The Nestorian Christians arrived in the 7th and 8th century. The great Dominicans and Jesuits of the 15th century, Matteo Ricci and others, arrived in China and almost converted the emperor. One of the last emperors of the Ming Dynasty was almost converted to Catholicism by Father Ricci. That would have changed history dramatically, of course, as it always does. And now today we have millions and millions of Chinese becoming Christian, becoming Catholic. The faith is spreading in China. At the same time that Chinese Communist Party, officially atheistic, is trying to stamp out organized religion of all kinds. The party recently told Christians in China and Catholics that it is illegal to teach the faith to anyone who's 16 years of age or under. It is illegal to bring your own children to Mass with you in China because the Chinese Communist Party, again, officially atheistic, wants to turn them all into good atheists. This is a law that's been on the books for 60 years. It was enforced under Chairman Mao back in the 1950s, and it's being enforced today under Chairman Mao's successor, the second Red Emperor, Xi Jinping. So we need to work to help evangelize China, because when China, as I think all countries will before the end of the world, becomes a Catholic, the government will be shaken, and I think religious liberty will come to be respected. That's still a ways off, but that's something we should work for. In the meantime, it's necessary for our country, the United States, to try to contain China's errors. We need to keep the free countries, the democratic countries of the Indo-Pacific, away from China's domination. We need to help Japan defend itself, South Korea, Taiwan especially, defend itself into an increasingly aggressive China, Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, all of these countries going around to India are all worried about Chinese aggressiveness, are all worried about being dominated by China. And America needs to take the lead in helping them to defend themselves, helping them to work with each other on a common defense against a China which is threatening aggression in all points of the compass. People need to understand, as I write in The Bully of Asia, China is making territorial claims in the East China Sea against Japan, in the South China Sea against Malaysia, Brunei, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Vietnam, in the Indian Ocean against India, in the Himalayas against India. Wherever you look, you see China on the march. And with an economy now the size of the U.S. economy, China has the second largest economy in the world. It is a foe to be reckoned with, and we need to recognize that fact and deal with it.
Yeah, wonderful. You know, Stephen, you know, you've spoken before United States Congress several times. I'm just wondering, have they taken any of this to heart from you, if you as you have spoken to them about the errors and dangers of this? Have you talked about, you know, with them about a plan, and what is their reaction? What is their reaction when you've spoken to Congress about this?
Well, the reaction has been generally positive. I advocated setting up a Radio Free China broadcast service, and we went ahead and did that. I wrote a book 16-17 years ago advocating that we wake up to the China threat, and we didn't do that very very much until recently, although we now have an administration that's paying a lot more attention to China and putting pressure on China to deal with North Korea, which is a problem that China created and China sustains. People need to understand that North Korea's little rocket man, Kim Jong-un, would not have rockets, would not have nuclear weapons were it not for support and aid it gets from China. So that's really a China problem, a China-created problem, and China should solve that problem. But then there have been some failures. I and many people advocated against letting China into the World Trade Organization back in 1999 because we said China will cheat. We will open our markets to Chinese goods under the World Trade Organization rules, but China will keep its markets closed. We warned the Congress that that would happen, but the Congress under President Clinton went ahead and approved it. Clinton signed it into law. And the result, a bill, has been the biggest transfer of wealth in human history. Trillions and trillions of dollars have gone from the United States to China, basically stolen, sometimes stolen outright by intellectual property theft. $600 billion a year, the FBI estimates, goes to China. $600 billion a year. Over 10 years is $6 trillion. 20 years is $12 trillion. That's an amount of money almost equivalent to the annual gross domestic product of the United States. Then we have the transfer of factories, the loss of jobs to China. The World Trade Organization membership for China has been a complete disaster. So we warned against that, weren't able to stop it. So today we need to go back. We need to understand that China does not want to join the United States and the current world order. It wants to replace the current world order with a world order of its own making. And in the meantime, it signs treaties, it tears them up before the ink is even dry. It signs international agreements, it doesn't abide by them. It promises to stop cyber attacks on the United States. Those cyber attacks are continuing. So the Chinese Communist Party came to power in China by deceiving the Chinese people into thinking that it merely wanted agrarian reform. It merely wanted to carve up the land and give every peasant in China a little plot of their own land. So the peasants enlisted by the millions in the Red Army. When the communists got to power, they forced the Chinese peasantry into huge communes, and 45 million people starved to death as a result. So this is a government that lives and dies by deceit, and we need to wake up to that fact and deal with China the way that it ought to be dealt with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this call and more can be found in your book, Bully of Asia. Before, you know, time always flies, especially talking with you today. Time is going double time here. And I want to make sure I have the opportunity for you to talk a little bit about the book, promote the book, and let our listeners, you know where they can get it. So go ahead.
Well, the book is called Bully of Asia. Subtitle: China's Dream is the New Threat to the World Order. It's available on Amazon, of course, but it's also available from our website at Population Research Institute, which is pop.org, pop.org. If you order Bully of Asia from us, I'll be able to autograph the copy before we put it in the mail. It's a book that is being read widely in Washington, D.C., and I think will have an impact on our foreign policy and help us deal realistically with a rising China, which is a threat to virtually everything that we hold dear: religious liberty, freedom of conscience, freedom in a wider sense. And so it's something, a threat we need to wake up to and deal with. And please don't forget to pray for the people of China, especially for our fellow Catholics in China who are experiencing ever more severe persecution as we speak.
Yeah, Stephen, thank you so much for your time today. It has truly been a pleasure talking with you, and you're always welcome back here on Young Catholics Respond anytime. It's been just a fascinating conversation. You've just, I know, touched the hearts of a lot of young people out there listening to this podcast and this radio program, and also a lot of Christians and Catholics around the world. So thank you so much for your precious time, and look forward to having you back on soon.
I look forward to it.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, from all of us at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about this program or Patchwork Heart Ministry, visit patchworkheart.org. That's patchworkheart.org. Or email info@patchworkheart.org.